steak with chimichurri all over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's a Malbec all day.
Yeah. This one is absolutely beautiful. It's, yeah, the color on this one is definitely a little darker than the last one we did.
You know what? This is filet mignon with a little pat of butter.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah, there you go.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I started the wrong conversation.
Yeah, the raspberries are there. I get more blueberry than raspberry. I get the flowers in there, the rose petals, the lavender, the violets.
I would like a milk chocolate bar with it, but that's
And there is definitely a,
too?
Yeah.
I'm with you. There's definitely a forest floral kind of umami note in the back on the nose.
Dude, this is just really great Pinot Noir, and it's not super expensive, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
On the palate, hold on.
It's your everyday sipper.
It's not quite everyday wine for a lot of people, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the palate.
Perennial favorite.
Perennial favorite. Yeah, the palate is really, really just so well integrated. Great body to it. Medium to long finish. Good mouthfeel. The tannins, I think the tannins will go through a steak, no problem. I think this is really lovely, and it just shows that, you know, they know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they've got the pedigree, but...
Guillaume's on point.
There are a lot of people who come with a pedigree, who come to a new place and open a winery, and it may or may not work out, but yeah, these guys are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jardin makes inexpensive grocery store wine, and they make some of the best wines in the world.
Yeah.
They make good award-winning wines in all those categories.
Yeah.
Right.
So Jardin knows what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's hard to do. So we're going to be giving the Resonance Pinot Noir Willamette Valley 2022 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Mm. Mm. So I looked up the pricing. It's about $30. That's a good deal.
I'll take a crate at 30. Good Lord, please. And we'll be back.
I need to bring more of this in.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back. We just finished talking about the lovely wines from Resonance, and we're going to be moving on to our next Oregon wine, and that's from Abbott Claim. So the Abbott Claim Winery is located in Carlton, Oregon, with the Yamhill Carlton District of the Willamette Valley. The winery's name honors the land's original owner, John F. Abbott, who made his original land claim in 1855. Abbott was born in New York in 1823 and worked his way west, eventually ending up in the gold fields of California in 1849. In 1851, he traveled north to Oregon, where he settled in the Willamette Valley, staking his homestead claim to 164 acres on the Savannah Ridge. The land changed hands several times over the years until Ken Wright planted the Abbott Claim Vineyards in 2001. In 2006, an undeveloped portion of the property was sold to Anthony Beck of Gainesway Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. Kentucky. Wine. Okay. In December 2012, the properties were rejoined under the same ownership when Beck purchased the 16-acre Abbott Claim Vineyard from Ken Wright, and a winery was completed in 2020. They incorporate organic, biodynamic, and regenerative practices in their farming and dry farm rather than irrigate and also forego herbicides and pesticides. So the first one we're going to do.
So crunchy granola.
Very. Well, it is Oregon.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So the first wine we've got from them is the Abbot Quaim Eola Amity Hills Chardonnay 21. This is a 13% ABV. Appellation is Eola Amity Hills, sourced from the Temperance Hill, Ex Omni, and Bracken Vineyards. Fermented with native yeast and aged on its lees for 12 months in French oak barrels, 35% new, followed by 6 months in stainless steel tank. The wine was kept unfiltered ahead of bottling. So on the color, it's very bright, almost glowing straw. Slightly green edge, just on the rim.
It's young.
On the nose, white flowers. There's a dry stone minerality to it, almost a dustiness. And again, we tried this blistering cold, and now that it's warmed up, blistering cold, there was
nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing there, but yeah. Really nice nose comes up. A little bit of grapefruit and a little bit of lemon. And on the palate, hold on. On the palate, there's definitely the lemon pops out for me up front. There's a nice lemon to it. The minerality is underneath. There's a nice acidity. Not overdone. Nice mouth-watering, kind of juicy flavor. A little bit of grapefruit on the back palate. White flowers. Yeah, very nice wine. What'd you think, Justin?
So I got bright lemon on the nose, lemon cookies on the palate, and a lemon finish with a little bit of grapefruit on the palate.
But
so,
no lemon pledge.
No lemon pledge. Not on this. God. Not on yeah. this one.
He mentioned it for another one.
Yeah. Another one.
Did you say it on the air?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I don't hold back.
Oh, yeah. This is like a dirty hippie standing about 20 yards from you.
That would be patchouli, not lemon.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just joking. I don't love this wine. This one was a little bit disappointment for me. I thought it was a little bit sulfury. I got pears and white peaches, like you said, Bob. But on the palate, it's kind of one note. Like Justin's saying, lemony, lemony, lemon, lemon.
I didn't say it was one note. Just had one note.
Just had one note. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. But, I mean, still a well-made wine, you know.
If you like lemon, yeah. This is the wine for you.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, I like Chardonnay that's a little more rounded, generally. I can go for other flavors than citrus, you know. This is just not my style of Chardonnay. What do you think? I mean, Bob, this is my least favorite white wine today.
I think if you tried it first, you'd like it better, but you've tried it after the
no,
other
no,
two,
no. So. I did not try them in order. I was just going through. So, well, I had the whites first, and I don't think it was because of that. Anyway.
Well, we're going to give the Abbot Quaim Eola Amity Hills Chardonnay 21 three sips.
Interesting.
So that's going to take us to our last wine. We're going to have Justin tell us about that.
Now we're going to talk about Abbot Quaim Du North Pinot Grigio 2021. 13% alcohol by volume from the Yamhill Carlton District in the Willamette Valley. Unfined and unfiltered. Age 18 months and 70% new French oak. This wine comes from the first wines planted on the top of the ridge in 2001, 4-acre parcel facing north. Not only is the aspect unique on the property since the rest of the vineyard is either facing southeast, south, or southwest. These vines also happen to be surrounded by trees, a notably dense forest to its western border that blows cool air through the block, where a seasonal creek runs and white truffles grow. With a singular microclimate, the soil at the top of the hill is also a little deeper and richer. On the nose, I got lovely French oak. On the palate, nice dark fruits. The finish, pleasant. What did you think, Harm?
I was not super impressed by this one either. I had to aerate it another time. It's a translucent ruby. I guess the nose is super muted until I aerated it. I got orange peel and raspberry. The palate is a little bit of citrusy, a little bit of raspberry. Nice mouthfeel. There's a little floral note coming on the palate as well. A little rose petal astringency. for the tannin. Finnet was short to medium. It's okay. I mean, I'd drink it. I'm not going to say no. What do you think, Bob?
That's a high bar for Marv.
Say, yeah, you've never said no to anything.
I've said no to several things. Yeah. I was really insulted by some wines some suppliers brought for me the last week. I'm not going to mention on the air.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. He remembers college. Trust me, he didn't say no to anything. Well, got a nice color to it. Nice sort of garnet ruby on the nose. Blueberries. Blackberries. On the palate. Has a nice body to it. A little bit weightier than your average Pinot Noir. There's blueberries.
I don't get the blueberries.
There's a nice dry stone sort of minerality to it. Nice coat. To me, it's more front palate than back palate. It's front mid palate. It drops off on the back palate, but overall.
Maybe I need to give more air. Maybe that's my thing. I need to aerate this one.
Yeah, I think we might need to aerate this one a little bit more, but I mean, overall, perfectly good wine. I definitely wouldn't mind having another bottle of it, so. Let me have another sip. So we're going to be giving the Abbott Claim Due North Pinot Noir 2021 three sips.
Interesting.
Well, that's all the time we have today for our Oregon show number one. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. So. Wait.
Is your kid back from college? Because I smell dirty hippie.
You always smell dirty hippie.
Yeah.
That's the acid you dropped in college.
Coming back to bite you.
Well, I want to thank our host for joining us. Thank you, Justin.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Harm.
Thanks, Bob. It was a good time today. I enjoy the wine shows.
Yeah, I enjoy the wine shows a lot, too. So, well, that's all. That's pretty much it. So, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, it's Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad wine, and fortunately,
we didn't drink any bad wine today. I may not have been super impressed by the last two, but you know what? It's still good wine. Mm-hmm. I'm just a snob.
Oh, you're definitely a snob.
And we like that about
you.
And
a couple
though.
Other things.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Hi, it's Nardwar, the human serviette saying, you're listening to CJSF Burnaby and Doo-Doo-Loo-Doo CJSF. Yeah.
This is Bird Note. Legends say that some 600 years ago, the Mexica people left their ancestral lands in Aztlán to build a powerful new empire. Their journey was guided by Huitzilopochtli, god of the sun and war, who told the Mexicas to look for the sign, an eagle perched on a cactus, devouring a serpent. For years, they wandered what is now Mexico in search of that prophecy. until finally they found the sacred bird on a tiny islet in the middle of Lake Texcoco. There, the Mexicas built a floating city right on the water. This was Tenochtitlan, capital of the Aztec Empire. And for several centuries and civilizations afterwards, it continued to grow and transform into the modern metropolis we now call Mexico City. Today, the golden eagle still perches on a prickly pear cactus in the center of the Mexican flag. Though the bird is immortalized in legend, real golden eagles now face threats like habitat loss, collisions with power lines and wind turbines, and poisoning from pesticides. By 2016, scientists estimated that fewer than 100 breeding pairs remained in Mexico. By protecting critical breeding grounds and supporting raptor research, conservationists are helping golden eagle populations bounce back across North and Central America, giving hope that this powerful symbol will soar above Mexico's mountains for generations to come. For Bird Note, I'm Lucina Melesio.
Bury me deep within the covers. Your body is a wasteland, just like mine. Kill me now, don't want to see the sunshine. Leave me with the blue light of my phone.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. One way to reduce the climate footprint of buildings is to switch from heating systems that burn oil or gas to ones that run on electricity. But Stephen Nadel of the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy says for some old apartment buildings, that can be hard.
Multifamily buildings often have central systems. They may be old and inefficient, and it can be very difficult to retrofit some of these systems.
But recent research by his group suggests that new cold climate window-mounted heat pumps could make it easier and cheaper for buildings to go electric. The units, which get installed in each apartment, are efficient and provide both AC and heat. They're easier to install than other heat pump systems. They plug into a normal outlet and are simply placed in a window where they hang from the sill like a saddle so they don't block the view.
They are getting more common. The New York City Housing Authority has purchased significant quantities of them, installing them in some of their buildings. But there are also utilities, cities, and others that are installing them in a dozen different cities.
So window heat pumps could help heat and cool apartment buildings with much less climate warming pollution. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU Burnaby.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.